From the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
And a very good morning, everybody. If you're just joining us, the breaking news leading off our big three, well, really our big four this morning, Len, is the rocket launch in Kazakhstan that malfunctioned. And the two astronauts, a Russian and an American, they had to abort the blast off, and they came ballistically crashing to the ground, but the parachute was out in their capsule, and they have survived, and they have, I see CNN is now reporting, they have been rescued. But you've got to see that capsule hitting the ground there. Boom. I don't think that parachute broke the fall too well.
No, it really did.
Wow, that's the sound.
That's the actual make-believe sound of the...
Well, no, but when it hits
something
the ground,
like that.
Dust comes up.
It was a sound very similar to that from what we could tell.
I mean, you'd think you'd launch it over the ocean, though, so if they have to abort and come down, they're going to land in the sea.
Just a few miles away in Kazakhstan.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's remarkable that the two guys are alive, and they have, according to CNN, they've been rescued. All right. Also in the big four, well, Hurricane Michael, my namesake, whipped through the panhandle, causing massive destruction. Winds getting up there to 155 miles an hour. So far, two people are dead, but I hope not, but we'll probably find that there may be more victims of this.
We're going to go live in just a few minutes to Panama City, Florida, so we'll get a live report in a moment.
Also in the big four, there's been an arrest. The owner of the limo company, that limo that plowed, that killed 20 people over the weekend, Nauman Hussein, 28, he was running the limo company, been warned many times to get that car off the road. He did not. He's been charged Wednesday. The deaths of the 20 people near Albany. And rounding out the big three, not a good day for your portfolio or your 401k plan. Stocks tumbled 831 points yesterday, and the fall off was led by the tech sector. Amazon, Netflix, Apple, they were probably overvalued. They've fallen down.
Hey, we have some audio now from Mission Control, the American and the Russian cosmonaut and the astronaut. They had the booster failure. They had a crash land, but they're okay. But here's what it sounded like at Mission Control.
We feeling rotation. The G-load is going down.
Something's going down. That was the translation. That's the Russian Mission Control.
Tighten the strap.
Tighten up the straps. Let's go. Here we go. We're going to land.
There has been an issue with the booster, and we're standing by for information as we continue to get it from the Russian flight control team. But everything seems to be fine with the crew. We had good calm with them, and they are okay.
How would you like to hear this if you're up there?
Tighten the strap.
Yeah, tighten up. Is that as technical as it gets? Huh?
Tighten the straps.
Tighten your seatbelt. Here we go.
Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy night.
And it's going to be a bumpy landing.
Oh, my God,
that hurts.
They must have had airbags in that capsule.
I hope so.
All right, now let's jump down to Panama City Beach, Florida, check in with ABC News correspondent Pete Combs. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, guys. We've been tightening the straps here for a couple of days now.
Yeah. Sure, so we've got two dead. Fears that they're going to find more victims of this hurricane, Pete?
Yeah, and fears also, Michael, that there is going to be people who go out and do things they probably shouldn't be doing in the immediate aftermath of the storm. That's what kills most people in a hurricane. It's not the wind. It's not even the power of the surge of water. It's people doing stuff that's not very bright at the aftermath of the storm. Right now, 640,000 people without power. Two people have died, one in Georgia and one in Tallahassee, Florida, as the storm just churned a path of destruction through the Florida panhandle and into Georgia. Now, I'm in Panama City Beach. I have been looking around at damage in Panama City as well. It's devastating. It really is. It is more than I think anybody estimated here on the island, looking at, you know, going through the storm and looking at what happened here. When you get onto the mainland, there are capsized boats right there on the shore. There are houses with the garage completely blown off, trees down into houses, trees down in streets, making them absolutely impassable. And, of course, as I mentioned, nobody out here has any power.
We're on with Pete Combs, the ABC News correspondent in Panama City Beach, Florida, Barrier Island. And, Pete, can you give us a sense of what it was like at the height of the storm when it was passing through?
It was incredible. I was outside a lot of the time, sheltered. I had a building between me and the bulk of the wind, but just watching this tremendous force of nature blowing trees down, knocking signs out, blowing power poles down with such force that the pole landed inverted in this one case, wow. inverted in the ground with such force that it blew out a water line. And the sound, guys, the sound was like nothing you'll ever hear again. It was this low, baleful mourn, the kind of sound that just, you know, makes you think haunted house and raises the hackles on the back of your neck. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. What's FEMA up to? Do they look like they're prepared for this, Pete?
You know, FEMA pre-placed a lot of assets around here, and the first order of business for FEMA and for local emergency responders will be to find out if anybody needs to be rescued. As I mentioned, you've got a lot of trees down into houses here, and that's going to be a priority. Also, people, I don't think high water rescues will be a major issue here. With the storm surge is come and gone. The flash flooding, well, the storm moved back so fast that there really isn't a lot of flooding in this area. I mean, even last night, there was a great sunset and the pavement was dry. That was amazing. I've never seen that after a hurricane. So I think finding people who need help getting out of homes that have been demolished by the storm, by trees falling and that kind of thing, that'll be the priority today.
Pete, you told us yesterday that you thought maybe 50% of the people were staying and sheltering in place, and this kind of, I guess, makes it okay for, since it came through and they seem to be okay, I guess in future storms, people aren't going to heed the idea to evacuate. I think that may be a problem.
You know, I asked about that to a couple of people, actually several people who stayed, and, you know, every one of them said to me, I ain't never doing this again. I mean, They were just devastated. The shock of riding that storm out, I mean, the 4 hours roughly of this incredible windstorm and the rain, no, it left them really, really shaken. And I think a lot of the people who did ride the storm out will be the first to leave the next time a storm hits.
Well, the storm's not finished yet, and it looks like the Carolinas are going to be hit with a lot of rain, Pete.
Yeah, they're going to get it again. Up to 8 more inches of rain they really just don't need, because you've heard the Cape Fear River and some of the other rivers there have just started to subside from flood stage, and now it looks like there might be more flooding before this is all over.
Hey, Pete, before you run, I know you're located at Panama City Beach, Florida. You described it as a barrier island, so I conjured up this thought that it was just going to be wiped out flat. Can you give us an idea of what actually happened to this island?
Yeah, you know, this is a resort island, so on Front Beach Road, there are a lot of really big condo buildings, a lot of big resort hotels. There was damage at the Holiday Inn Express Resort and Suites. The big canopy, this huge canopy that overhangs the drive, the entry drive, it collapsed and crushed a number of cars. Thank God nobody was in there. I've seen a lot of street damage, power poles lying in the road. It's going to be a big cleanup effort, but I got to tell you, the damage here, ironically, was not as bad as it was back on the mainland. I can't explain that. That's just not the norm, but that's the case in this storm.
All right. Pete Combs down in Panama City Beach, Florida. Pete, thanks for your time.
You bet, guys.
Yeah. Wow. I just, but the idea of a power pole inverting and crashing into the ground and breaking a water main. I mean, that's crazy, isn't
and
it?
His description of the sound of the hurricane is like a low, baleful moan. Baleful means evil, I think. He said it was almost like a haunted house.
Well, this is Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum. Now, you have your doubts about putting him on the air. Is that what you were saying yesterday?
Yeah, listen, it's the governor's job here. It's not the guy running to be governor.
Oh.
But CNN gave him plenty of opportunity because I'm sure they're supporting him.
Oh, so you're saying this came from CNN, huh?
Yeah, well, I saw him pop up on CNN. I thought, oh, this is just an opportunity for this Gillum to show that he's up to the job,
well,
and a little boost for his campaign.
Well, we'll be the judge.
A lot of people believe that we dodged a bullet today, and it's hard to say if you've got a tree across your house, and so I want to keep that in perspective. But as we think about the potential consequences of the storm in this area, I've seen it much worse.
All right. You'd rather hear from the governor?
Yeah, because the governor's one on the job.
All right. Here's Rick Scott.
We're deploying a massive wave of response. We will be sending help from air, land, and sea.
All right, and we just had Pete Combs in Panama City Beach, Florida. This is one of the people who stayed put. Her name is Colleen Swab.
I thought the roof was going to come off. So when we came outside and saw that the trees were down and We saw the fence was down. We just knew that we were very lucky. I don't suggest trying to ride out a storm.
See, there you go. That's what Pete was saying. You know, they did it, but they may not do it again. Here's some more of this resident Colleen Swab.
I took my whole family and my daughter, and we packed food and water cooler and put it in our downstairs closet. We just stayed in there until we thought it was over.
It's kind of the response to like a tornado. And some people were saying this is similar in nature to kind of a tornado.
Listen, I'm not staying around. If they warn me that a Category 5 is coming my way, I'm not going to have
I know. Well, they're saying that, okay, next time, maybe it was a mistake. But
absolutely.
That was fascinating, the way Pete described what it was like coming through. Wow. Unbelievable.
A low, baleful moan. Mm. All right, when we come back, this is a ghoulish story. A journalist is missing, and he may have been dismembered. You're not going to believe what's going on in Turkey when we come back. And your chance to win $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. Hey, I want to give you a chance also to win tickets to see the band's visit, this year's Tony Award winner for Best Musical, and you're going to see it with me. And after the show, I'm going to have an exclusive interview on the stage with a member of the cast. The band's visit rejoices in the way music makes us laugh, makes us cry, and ultimately brings us together, which is so important in these divisive times. Now, for a chance to win and join me at the first ever matinee with Michael, go to 710WOR.com/contest, 710WOR.com/contest. But you got to enter before Friday. Friday is the deadline. So go to 710WOR.com/contest and win tickets with me to see the band's visit. And now let's get some traffic from Bernie Biter.
War.
What about you, Michael? It's hard enough to keep track of real stars, be them on film or television or Broadway, but now we have to keep track of Instagram stars YouTube stars.
I know.
I have no idea who these people are.
Well, they're usually hot.
Well, this person's name is Naz Myla.
She's hot.
Why is she an Instagram star? Because she runs around with her bikinis on and she wears skimpy bikinis all the time.
She's sexy, yes.
Well,
I'm looking at her right now.
Well, did you see this tattoo she got? It's unbelievable. The tattoo goes basically down the whole side of her body up near her chest all the way down her leg.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, she's basically wearing nothing when she shows this off. Uh-huh. But she wanted to get this well-known Turkish phrase that only God can judge my mistakes and truths. And apparently she got a bad translation because she has this whole tattoo down her whole body that reads, I can judge a single God with my wrongs and wrongs. I mean, it makes no sense. I remember when Marcus Camby played for the Knicks. He had all of this Chinese lettering. Nice guy. He played for the Knicks. He had all this Chinese lettering on his arms.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wall Street Journal reported that it meant nothing. It was gibberish. Whatever they told him, it said, it didn't say. But anyway, if you want to see this Instagram star basically wearing nothing but a tattoo and why they consider her a star with her other bikini shots, because Anthony loves, our assistant producer.
He found it.
Loves putting this stuff together.
Yeah.
Check out our website. This is 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Speaking of Turkey, on a much more serious note, Michael.
Yeah, more details are emerging of the disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi. Now, he is the Saudi Arabian journalist who became a dissident and was
He's an American citizen, I heard somewhere, too. You know, he wrote for the Washington Post.
He did. But he was from Saudi Arabia. He was very close to the royal family at one point, but he turned on them and was writing critical articles of Mohammed bin Salam, MBS they call him. He's the prince of Saudi Arabia, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. And he was in Turkey. He was going into the Saudi Arabian embassy to get some papers. He's divorcing his wife and he was going to marry his Turkish fiancee, and he needed to have some paperwork done at the embassy, in the Saudi embassy in Istanbul. Well, they have pictures of him going in, but no pictures of him going out. And it appears that 15 Saudi Arabians came in on a Gulfstream jet to Turkey and were waiting for him when he entered the embassy. And they believe, although the Saudis deny this, that they murdered him in the embassy and dismembered him, because one of the people who came in was carrying a hacksaw and another one was a medical examiner.
Now, they believe this is under the orders of the Saudi crown prince, who you called MBS, Mohammed bin Salam.
Yep.
However, there's some back play here. Now, that's an ally of ours, and we...
Saudi Arabia's long been one of our allies.
We give them a lot of arms, but there are those critics who are claiming that we have emboldened this MBS guy to do whatever he wants because we have his back.
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S. is getting some criticism in this, too. Now, there were some senators on both sides. They put out a bipartisan statement to the president saying, hey, come on, we got to look into this. And yesterday... for the first time, the president did comment on this a little bit.
It's a very sad situation. It's a very bad situation. And we want to get to the bottom of it.
So, kind of generic.
Well, I have to find out who did it. But people saw him go in, but they didn't see him come out, as they understand it.
So he's reporting what, you know, what we've heard.
This is a bad situation. We cannot let this happen. To reporters, to anybody.
Lindsey Graham is all hopped up about this. He said, if they can prove that the Saudis killed this guy, that is going to be a real problem for our relations. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, Len, we live in the real politique world. Saudi Arabia is a very important player in the Middle East, and we have to deal with Saudi Arabia. We often have to deal with thugs, brutal dictators, bad guys. That's just the way you handle the world.
Well, there are those who are saying that, you know, come on, you do sanctions against other countries, you need some sanctions against Saudi Arabia here, even though, so you're saying we're in bed with these thieves, but... So
we've been in bed with Saudi Arabia a long time.
So you can't sanction them at all?
Well, look, I mean, a number of the 9/11 terrorists were Saudi Arabians.
Absolutely.
And what did we do about that? Yeah. Not much. I mean, the problem is that we've been dependent on Saudi Arabian oil for too long, which is why we should be developing our own oil resources here in America.
I thought we had.
So we're not. Well, we have a big fight to do it. Thank God Trump is drilling, baby, drilling. That's the only way you're going to distance yourself from these brutal regimes that we need the oil from.
I just remember, you know, when I started the show and how much criticism Obama was getting whenever something happened in the world, be it China or Russia or Syria, the argument was, well, Obama's soft, so these other countries are emboldened. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot. Maybe this guy, this MBS guy, is emboldened to do whatever he wants because he thinks Trump has his back. I mean, it cuts both ways, Michael, you know?
Well, we'll see. I think Trump is quite capable of being tough on Saudi Arabia if it's proven that they did kill this guy.
Well, someone's got to figure out what happened to this guy. He's not just walking the streets somewhere.
He's not hanging out in the embassy anymore, I think, drinking tea.
That's for sure. All right, it's time for latest news headlines as we approach 7:30. Good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Good morning, Len. Harvey Weinstein goes to court today amid reports that the sexual assault case against him could be falling apart. Manhattan DA's office recently found writings from one of his accusers that could suggest that their encounter was consensual. Lucia Evans claims that Weinstein forced her to perform oral sex in 2004, but newly disclosed writings could contradict that allegation. Mm-hmm. She's one of three women whose claims serve as the foundation for the case. So the question is, if hers is suspect, what happens to the others? We'll find out today. Could be an important day in court.
But I always had my doubts about that case, actually.
Yeah,
I know. I'm sure Harvey did terrible things. I have no doubt about that. But this one particular instance, he may get away with this one.
Well, the question is, if it's that one, there are two others that are also part of this. So do they stick? Hurricane Michael downgraded to a tropical storm as it continues to churn north after tearing through the Florida panhandle. It left a wave of destruction in its path, and Governor Rick Scott says help is on the way.
We are deploying a massive wave of response. We will be sending help from air, land, and sea.
And the president also promised federal help. We have two deaths reported, one of them an 11-year-old girl in Georgia. The storm is in Georgia right now, again, as a tropical storm. Operator of the limo company has been criminally charged after that crash upstate that killed 20 people. New York State Police Superintendent George Beach says that Nauman Hussein knew the limo driver should not have been on the road.
Hussein, the operator of Prestige Limo in Saratoga County, was issued written violations by the New York State Police and the New York Department of Transportation that the driver he hired should not have been operating the type of vehicle involved in Saturday's crash.
And also that vehicle that was involved in the crash should not have been on the road. Hussein's been charged with criminally negligent homicide. Well, the Walmart people want to know how you feel when you're shopping.
Well?
They've applied for a patent for a smart shopping cart. Listen to this. It would track your heart rate, your body temperature, and your grip and walking speed as you go through Walmart.
So you get excited if you see Pampers are on sale? Oh, your heart rate goes up?
Well, yes, kind of like that. Fine. The data would be used to determine how you respond physically to different parts of the store.
Yes.
how you might respond physically to some of those other Walmart shoppers, too.
Well, that's the thing.
How about the greeters?
So these things, they'd be just like they do on treadmills, you know. They would be on the cart handle and would report the data to servers at the company, then would use to troll this information.
We are being spied on everywhere now.
Is this
everywhere.
Another liberal democratic scheme? Is that what this is, Riedel?
No,
unbelievable.
It's the big brother state that we're living in. I mean, we're on camera all the time wherever we go, and now they're going to monitor us when we're shopping to know if we, as you say, like the Pampers.
Well, that's a good thing to know. I mean,
no, it's not.
Which
no,
displays?
It's not.
If you're running a store, you want to know which displays are working,
well,
which aren't.
That's your information. I think we should.
I think we should hook up all of our listeners. Like with Riedel Talks, we'll see what their blood pressure is.
They will be very happy. It's when you open your mouth that they want to go crazy.
And which commercials they like to hear.
That would be interesting. I mean, a focus group with you two guys.
Not that interesting, Joe.
Yes, it would be.
Really?
Yeah. It would be.
Can I choose the focus group?
You can't handpick it, Len.
All right. Thanks, guys. Hey, when we get back, let's go to the phones. 800-321-0710. My goodness, we could talk about the Saudi journalist if you want. We could talk about the president. He got some criticism, I thought, unfairly, that he went to give a speech in Pennsylvania while the hurricane was going on. Maybe you're a stockbroker, and maybe you can explain yesterday's stockalypse or anything else on your mind. You know, 60% of people say they've seen a ghost. Are you one of them?
Oh, yes. I want to hear some ghost stories.
Let's get some ghost stories. Whatever you want to talk about. Let's go. Let's do it. 800-321-0710. Your next chance, the $1,000 at 8:05. Right now, Bernie Vider has traffic.
Well, the phones are open this morning. 1-800-321-0710. Give us a call now. 60% of people surveyed claim that they have seen a ghost. None of us here have seen a ghost.
No, well, Natalie said she felt a presence, none of the rest of the staff has ever seen a ghost.
Right, but if you have a ghost story, if you've seen a ghost and you want to tell us, give us a call, 1-800-321-0710, or maybe you have some advice for Len and me with the stock market collapsing. What should we do with our portfolios?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, if you got some advice for us, 1-800-321-0710.
We're not paying for it. So no, if you're looking for a management fee, Mr. Broker, no. That ain't happening.
Hey, let's go to Charles Schwab on online. No, just kidding. Hey, Laura in Copeg has a ghost story for us.
Laura.
Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. So, you know, I totally saw a ghost. So I have my witness sitting right next to me. Mm-hmm. I used to own a house in South Carolina. I bought it. It was new, in a new development. And the scary part is not that I was actually cleaning my bathroom, but I was. The counter, like I was facing the counter, you know, facing the mirror. She was behind me, my daughter, in the doorway. Mm-hmm. So she was only 8 at the time. Now she's 18. And we were just chatting. And behind her, I saw a man walk through my bedroom into my living room. Wow. He was wearing overalls. He looked right in my face and he waved to me, right? So I didn't want to alarm her because she was only 8. So I just continued doing what I was doing, and a few minutes later, she said, "Mommy," and I said, "Yes, Ange," and she said, "Who was that?"
He saw him. She saw him too.
Now, how old is she now?
She's 18.
And she's sitting there, and she still corroborates it.
Yeah, I still remember every little thing. I was like, it wasn't like a scary kind of thing. It was just like a whoa, like who was that?
Wow.
He didn't scare us, but it was like he acknowledged us for being there.
A mother and daughter phone call. I don't think we ever had that before.
He looked right at you, though. He looked right at you. He saw you, looked at you.
Yeah. All right. He totally looked right in my face and waved.
Now, was he half there? I mean, could you see through him or what?
To me, I only saw the top part. I didn't see a bottom part.
Oh, maybe that part there.
He went... Maybe. It was almost like a salute wave, you know, not like a wave like, hi, you know, it was like a, hey, jeez. You know, like a,
wow.
It was weird.
And of course, when you went to check, nobody was there.
Oh, I didn't move. I wasn't going
Laura,
to look for anybody.
I was going to ask how much you were drinking, but your daughter wasn't drinking, I don't think, so that couldn't have been it.
No, it was a little too early in the day even for me. Right.
Okay, thanks, Laura.
Look at all these calls.
People
Marie,
seen ghosts.
How about Marie in Trenton, New Jersey? You got a story for us, Marie?
Hi, boys. I love your show.
Thank you, Marie.
I just want to say that when I was a child, about 10 or 11 years old, I was coming out of the bathroom in my house. and going towards the stairs, and I looked over to the right, and I saw a figure, which I couldn't see through, bend over the balcony to look down the stairs. Mm. And that kind of, I didn't think too much of it at the time, and I went downstairs and went to play with my friends. But then another time when I was in my room, I saw this amoeba-like figure coming out of my closet. And the closet was in the direction of my grandparents' room because we all lived together. We were Italian.
You're not Italian? You're not Italian anymore?
No, yeah. Reformed. I am. And even as I was growing up, because I lived there till I was 25 years old, I still heard things. I would sense things, you know, but I wasn't afraid anymore because I figured whoever was there was protecting the family.
It wasn't a bad spirit
or anything.
Right.
It was very nice and a calming source.
See, Michael, there are good people on both sides.
All right, thank you. It could have been her grandparents looking after the family, but, things that go bump in the night, some ghosts are not so friendly, Len. You got to be careful.
All
hey,
right.
Let's go to Richard in Wilton, Connecticut. Good morning, Richard. Did you see a ghost?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are
good,
you?
Good, how are you?
Good. This is an interesting story. It was 1969. And I had a date with this young blonde, and I went out to the Kennedy Beach, which...
What's the Kennedy Beach?
It's Hyannisport.
Oh, Hyannisport. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, the three Kennedy houses was Bobby Kennedy's house, Jack Kennedy's house, and Joe Kennedy's house. And I'm lying there on the beach. I'm not supposed to be on that beach, but they had security all over the place, and I was staying for the summer in Hyannisport, so they knew who I was. Mm-hmm. So my date was lying on a blanket on the beach, and I was in a sitting position, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I'm looking out towards Martha's Vineyard, and I look to my right down the beach, and this figure comes out of the water. So I'm thinking, I'm 21 or 22 years old. I'm thinking, why is somebody coming out of the water at 11 o'clock at night? The figure walks up to me, and it's JFK. This is 1969, so it's JFK's ghost. And he's dressed in a beautiful navy blue pinstripe suit. And I look into his eyes. I'm in a sitting position. He's standing. He stops. He looks into my eyes. And all I could think was, I knew it was him because it was exactly his face. It was him. I'm looking into his eyes and I'm saying to myself, it's his ghost, but I can't say anything because it's an apparition. So he turns, he walks onto the lawn, and he walks to the back of his father's house, Joe's house. Now, Joe is still alive. He had a stroke, but Joe was still alive at that time. So I said to my date, I said, Pat, did you just see a man standing here? And she said, what? And I said, did you see a man standing here? And she said, no, I was sleeping.
Oh. Hey, Richard, can I ask you a quick question? Did JFK say, don't ask what you could do for your country, ask what I could do for your blonde date? Is that what he said to you?
No, you know what? It was the most interesting experience
Sounds
I ever
interesting.
Had in my life.
But the problem is, in the control room, Anthony, the assistant producer, wants to know what happened with you and the blonde. That's what he really wants to know.
Well, she was beautiful. I don't want to say her name on the air.
Pat, you said her name.
Well, I'm sorry?
You already said it was Pat.
Oh. Yeah. It was Marilyn Monroe. Kennedy had an eye for the ladies. He probably saw a blonde on the
beach. He saw a blonde on the beach
and he came up and said,
hey, talk to this guy.
How are
you? You know what, though? He believes this story. This is his reality.
I tried to lighten it up, and he would have none of it.
If it were the ghost of Teddy Kennedy, he would have offered a driver home.
Stop.
All right. When we come back, we've got some celebrity news for you. Do you want to have sex with Tina Turner? Look out for the hair. Plus, your chance to win $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's get the traffic. Birdie Biden.
All right, a little entertainment news for you.
Yeah.
You know who this is?
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no broke. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no.
All right, go ahead, Riedel. Name that tune.
Kanye? Is it Kanye?
Perfect. Yeah. Kanye stop. West. Stop, Anthony. I saw that. Anthony, our board operator,
yeah,
is giving you clues.
No, he's not. I was arriving at that conclusion myself. Kanye West, he's in the news a lot these days. He's going to be the next ambassador to the United Nations and the Trump administration, maybe.
Well, it's Gold Digger. Kanye West apparently sings it with Jamie Foxx. That's what I've been told.
2005.
Natalie, that's too much information. You going to tell me the label? Are you going to tell me who wrote the song?
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke.
I will also tell you this is the clean version.
Oh, really?
What does he say in the dirty version?
Yeah, you know, words that you can't use on the radio.
Oh, gotcha.
Whoops. Okay. Hey, so what about Kanye?
He's at the White House today. That's all. He's having lunch with the president. I think I heard the president say Jim Brown was showing up, too. One of the greatest, greatest running back I ever saw.
There are a lot of celebrities who like this president.
Yeah, a lot of blacks. Hey, listen.
Glenn.
No, that ties in. No, the president himself said that. He says he's very popular in the minority community. In fact, Alec Baldwin, you know, who plays Donald Trump.
Of American workers. I've got a very presidential answer for this. Our jobs are fleeing this country. They're going to Mexico. They're going to China. I will stop that. If Hillary knew how, she would have done it already, period. End of story. I won the debate. I stayed calm, just like I promised, and it is over. Good night, Hofstra.
Donald, there's still 88 minutes left. It's a 90-minute debate.
My microphone is broken.
All right, so that
was old Alec Baldwin doing that tiresome impersonation of the president.
Listen what he told the Hollywood Reporter. You got to hear the whole quote. I don't know how to say this. I don't want to get it wrong, but ever since I played Trump, black people love me. Everywhere I go, black people go crazy. He says, I think it's because they're most afraid of Trump. I'm not going to paint every African-American person with the same brush, but a significant number of them are sitting there going, this is going to be bad for black folks. So how about that?
I don't know about that.
I didn't think you'd agree with that.
I don't think so. All Trump right. has good relationships with some boxers and some rappers. Rappers love Trump.
Apparently,
not just Kanye, but other rappers love Trump.
Name one more.
Well, I don't know any rappers, okay? So you stumped me on that one. But rappers rappers love Trump. He hangs out with rappers. So Tina Turner. Did you ever want to have sex with Tina Turner, Len?
I never really thought about it. Let me give it some thought while you're telling the story. I don't know.
It's the hair, folks. It's the hair. It's that sexy Tina Turner hair. But it turns out it's a wig. The hair's been a wig all along. And Tina Turner says in her upcoming memoir, My Love Story, which is excerpted by People magazine this week, that she went without sex for years at a time because she was terrified of how her partners might react to her wigs in bed. She says, don't laugh, but I've always been a little nervous about starting a relationship with a new man because I don't know how my wig will be received. As much as I loved the convenience and easy beauty of finding someone I loved, I always ran the risk of meeting the man who might have a problem becoming romantically involved with me when my bountiful and beautiful hair comes off and I'm walking around unadorned as Anna May.
Yeah.
So that's what I was going to say. Is it the wig or it's under the wig?
I think
she was afraid of.
Let me give you a little clue. There's much hair under the wig, and unless you're a baldy chaser, I don't think she'd be for you.
I got a scoop for Tina.
Yeah.
Men could care less.
What's under the wig?
The lights out. They're not thinking about her hair or her wig.
Oh, come on, but
you don't want to hear that.
If the lights are out, though, and you reach out to stroke the Tina Turner hair and you get a billiard ball instead, it's going to be a little weird, don't you think, Len?
It's not going to stop one guy out there. Not one.
Well, thank you for the insight.
There you go.
I've never heard of a baldy fetish.
Just try to speak for men everywhere. Stormy Daniels.
Len's got a crush on Telly Savalas.
I saw him once in a restaurant.
Did you pat his little head?
No, but I thought it was really cool. There goes, what was his character?
Kojak.
Kojak. There goes Kojak. Hey, Stormy Daniels tweeted, woke up this morning in Germany to a text telling me I am number 7 on the New York Times bestseller list. I bet this just ruined a lot of people's day. Ha, ha, ha. Go ahead and add best-selling author to that list of names you like to call me. Stick it between skank and whore. Thanks. XOXO from Stormy.
Oh, God.
Stormy Daniels, that book. That book is a joke. She's a joke. Avenatti's a joke. The only book that should be on the top of the New York Times bestseller list is The Art of the Deal by Donald Trump.
What are you smoking here? And you think it's a joke that she was paid $130,000 in hush money? That's all a joke and means nothing and nothing. Old news.
She took the money, but now she wants more. And now she wants to be in the public eye, and she's selling her book. And I'm sure she's going to have a line of perfume and lingerie. And she's simply capitalizing, cashing in on whatever relationship she had with our president.
Well, according to Stormy, she's now skank, best-selling author, and whore. There you go. Great. Up next, Donald Trump watch. We have the stock market, more shots at Hillary, and a mention of Kanye. All coming up after the news. It's 8 o'clock.